We'll talk with a variety of guests this hour about a recent Legislative Fiscal Bureau report that disclosed the UW system had hundreds of millions of dollars in a cash reserve. We'll wonder if there is anything wrong with this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April 25th. Let me disclose that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension and let you know that we did invite UW System President Kevin Riley or a UW System spokesperson to join us for part of this hour, but that invitation was declined. We will later in the hour hear from a former UW-Madison Chancellor, John Wiley, about the purpose of a cash reserve and whether he thinks calls for a tuition freeze or even the possibility of no extra autonomy for the UW system are in order. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions for our four different guests at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our first guest. Dale Cuyenga is a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He's a member of the Joint Finance Committee and the Committee on Government Operations and State Licensing. He was a part of the Certified Public Accountant Caucus that discovered the UW system's $648 million surplus. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. I didn't even know that there was a Certified Public Accountant Caucus. How exactly did you find this cash reserve?
The CPA caucus came about 2 years ago. There's four of us in the state legislature, and we meet on a periodic basis and just kind of go over the details of the tax code and the spending and just get really into the details. And I always say in the Capitol, everyone wants to hang out with us until Saturday night. But it's a good group of folks, and we just like getting into the details, more policy, more getting our fingers dirty and less politics. So essentially what we did is in January, we're really focused on generally accepted accounting principles. And that's just essentially the way businesses do accounting, local governments do accounting. But the state has exempted themselves from doing accounting that way. Well, in the process of doing that, we were looking at the state annual financial statements. And when we looked at University of Wisconsin, we said, you know what? Based on what we're seeing here, it's not raining there. Things are actually going very well there financially. And when we asked the questions and got the details, the cash reserves at the University of Wisconsin system has been substantially growing over the years, and so that's what brought it to light.
Well, what's wrong with having some cash reserves? Shouldn't you have some money on hand given the uncertainty of today's economy?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having cash reserves. It's the story behind the cash reserves. The first question is, are the cash reserves appropriate? And really, if you look at the tuition increases of the UW system over the years, over the last 12 years, the tuition increases have been triple that of inflation. And so on the backs of who are we building this cash reserve? And the question is if this could have been instead just had lower tuition rates, are we better served by giving more kids education than building up these huge cash reserves? And at the same time, it's the problem we have in the legislature is everything we receive, everything we hear from UW system was that it was raining and times were tough and they were in a cash crunch and that it was very difficult to operate under the environment that the legislature created for in the last 2 years. But then when you look at their cash has nearly doubled in 4 years. And so there's nothing wrong with having cash on hand. But what's wrong is the lack of transparency and crying that there's significant issues there when you look at the actual hard dollars and you find out, no, life is actually pretty good and they're doing great. And so as a legislative body, we're just simply saying, you know what, let's freeze tuition. And tuition hasn't been frozen in 12 years. Let's freeze tuition for the next 2 years. And let's just simply give you the same amount of revenue, same amount of dollars from the state that we gave you the last 2 years. This current budget gives them $181 million in additional funds. We'd like to peel that back and just say, you're doing great with what you have. Why don't you deal with what you have, and then we'll reassess it again in 2 years.
If you give them the same amount that they have had, isn't that going to then cause a cash crunch?
No, the amount of cash they have on hand right now is sufficient. I mean, it's over $600 million. So with tuition at the level of that, and also with the amount of general purpose revenue that we give them, you know, I think that they would even be honest with that and say that's plenty of revenue to hold them over. And then, you know, I don't think anybody argues that they need more money than that. So, and also, you know, the question is I don't think necessarily the University of Wisconsin system has been like squeezing pennies. So, you know, the other part of this is, you know, is the University of Wisconsin system being a good steward of taxpayer dollars? And so we're going to look at that as well. I mean, I was driving to Madison the other day with my carpool, and I have an F-150, you know, a modest F-150, and I passed a University of Wisconsin F-150 that had, like, every single bell and whistle I've ever seen on a truck. And, you know, I think just, I know it's at a very small level, but just looking at the expenses over there and say, are the students being served? I mean, we want professors. We want PhDs in the classroom, not, you know, folks that are, you know, working on their master's degree. We want to see more professionals in the classroom. We want to see more being done by the University of Wisconsin to educate our kids at a lower cost.
Yeah. Now, the UW has said that while there was this $648 million in these cash reserves, that a good portion of that was restricted or committed to various expenses, and that the actual uncommitted cash reserve was more like $207 million. Do you have an issue with that?
Well, I mean, we initially started with over $1 billion. There's actually over $1 billion in cash. And we actually, that $600 million number actually represents already backing out, you know, 300 something million from that 1 billion of, you know, truly the gifts and the federal money that are earmarked. So, yeah, there, I mean, even within that $600 million, there's definitely, I'm sure there's plans for some of that money. But to a certain extent, and they admitted this the other day when they were in front of the another committee dealing with separate issues, was I kind of explain it this way. Is, let's say there's a spouse, and a spouse finds out that their other spouse has a $250,000 checking account. And the spouse is like, what? How do the spouse find out about it? What is this? How did you have $250,000? You never told me about it. And the spouse's reaction right away is, well, I was going to buy you a fur coat, and I was going to take you on vacation, and it was all for you, hon. And that's kind of what they admitted they've done in this, is that the minute immediately we said, hey, why do you have all this cash on hand? They immediately said, well, we have a plan for it. And they threw out a plan, and we asked, has that plan been approved by the Board of Regents? Has there been any writing of that plan? Has there been any communication or transparency in that plan? And they admitted that there was been no. They just kind of made up that up on the fly once we found this money.
UW System President Kevin Riley has said that the reserves were built up because of the uncertainty of a future funding. But he did admit that the system did a poor job of explaining its existence or its finances. Now, is the UW system going to be punished for not being totally transparent because of this?
Absolutely not. The last thing we want to do is damage the University of Wisconsin system. We are, I think every legislator in the building is very proud of the University of Wisconsin system and would proudly say that it's one of the gems of our state and it's important to our economy. So there will be no vindictiveness. There will be no political payback or anything like that from this legislature. We are simply balancing what is the right amount of revenue that goes to the University of Wisconsin system. We are happy to support the system, but we want to do it in a way that is also advantageous to taxpayers. You mentioned uncertainty. And there's a lot of organizations. There's businesses out there with uncertainty, but most importantly, there's families out there that face uncertainty on a daily basis. And they're uncertain they're going to have their job next week, or they're uncertain they're going to get that raise. And essentially, we also need to do that balance and say, you know, we need to provide some certainty for students that their tuition is going to be affordable for the next 4 years if they're a freshman, and provide certainty for families that, you know, their tax their taxes don't have to be higher to support a system that's not being good stewards of taxpayer dollars. So we're not going to take any money away from the University of Wisconsin system. There's, I don't think anybody said let's take money away from them. We're just simply saying, as we look at this budget going forward for the next 2 years, let's just tell them you're going to do with the tuition dollars that you did the last 2 years, and we're going to keep your general purpose revenue, the amount of money that comes from the state, exactly the same as it was the last 2 years.
One of your colleagues, a Republican, Steve Noss of Whitewater, and some other lawmakers are thinking that UW System President Kevin Riley ought to be fired. What do you say about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not in the, I think as a legislature, I deal with higher policy issues. And, you know, I think when necessary, we get into details, like in this case, we got into details about firing like this. I'm not going to give an opinion on whether the Mr. Riley should be fired. I know other people do have opinions on that, but I really am looking forward to the Board of Regents. Like, this isn't just the Board of Regents. I think we've seen in corporate America, sometimes with our local churches or whatever organizations are part of, when people are on a governing board, like the Board of Regents, they need to take their responsibility very, very seriously and be stewards. And actually, you know, I think sometimes in these governance organizations, there's like this buddy-buddy system, like, oh, we're all friends. But sometimes you got to be a leader, you got to be a manager, and you got to ask the tough questions. And I really want to hear the Board of Regents say, let's do a 0% increase. I want to see them say, ask the hard questions of their leadership and see, you know, what they could do more for the students of UW and the parents and the taxpayers.
Let me take one call for you.
And I'll ask this for Joy, I'll add this to you, and for the employees of the UW system. I mean, I think that there's employees of the UW system that also deserve good leadership and good oversight from the Board of Regents as well.
Well, we have another employee of the UW system online, Saul in Stevens Point. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I sort of concur in terms of the ineptness of the leadership of the system. This has been a tradition in the UW system, weak leadership. On the other hand, you're not talking about my UW campus when you're talking about fully equipped F-150s. I mean, we are struggling here to get new faculty at the salaries we can offer. The faculty in the UW system have not had a raise in over 5 years, not one raise, not a tenth of a percent. They've been furloughed for 2 years. They've increased costs of benefits. But that's what we're talking about here. So it does discourage me to know that our grand poobahs in Madison have elected to accumulate these reserves but not presented some sort of a plan for equitable increases in faculty salaries.
Yeah.
So I do think that there has been a lot of mismanagement, or I don't know if that's the word, but ineffectual leadership by Mr. Riley, and I would like to see some more competent leadership in his place.
Yeah, would you be all right with the calls for the tuition freeze and funding of the UW system at the same level as the last couple of budgets?
The problem is not equitable, that when you're talking about Madison, he didn't separate out the surplus by campus. You know, this spread out over the whole system, and we are not at UWSP. We are not, don't have the liberty of you know, we don't have big slush funds laying around.
Yeah, what
you know,
about
this?
The,
just
yeah.
contributes to the impression that people have that the UW faculty are rich and living off the fat of the people.
A reaction to that, Representative Cuyenga?
Yeah, I think he has his fingers on the pulse on many issues there. You know, first of all, there's some UW employees that have received raises and additional benefits over the year, and then there's employees that have not received raises or benefits over the last years. And essentially, you know, we believe that the best employees should get raises and better benefits, and, you know, the system, that's what the governance system is for, is that the tuition has been going up. The amount of money from the state over the last 12 years has been going up, not as a percentage of the budget. But this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Like, I'm not going to sit here as a legislator and say, this is the case, and this is happening across the whole UW system. Because there are campuses that do not have a large cash reserve and have been very, very good in their leadership. There's leadership of some UW campuses out there that are tier one leadership, and you can't ask any more of them, and they're doing the right thing. And then there's other campuses that there's room for improvement. So I think that's a very, that's a very important point on this, is that from a legislative standpoint, we look at the whole system, but within the system, it's a different story campus by campus. And so I think that's where a more robust, active Board of Regents comes into place. And I really, once again, want them to step up their game and get more into the details.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dale Cuyenga is a Republican state representative from Brookfield. We will move on and talk with other guests and welcome more of your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Quick check of our weather for today. Mostly sunny, seasonably mild, finally highs between 45 and 52 degrees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are getting reaction from a variety of guests on this recent report from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau showing the University of Wisconsin system with a $648 million surplus. Our next guest is Christian Schneider, Senior Fellow at the Wisconsin Public Research Institute, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and National Review. His recent piece, The UW's Backward Budgeting, appeared in Tuesday's Journal Sentinel. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. So what do you mean by backward budgeting?
Well, essentially what I mean by that is the way state departments usually budget is they usually go to the state legislature, and they identify, well, here are the new programs that we want, and here's how much more that we're going to need to spend on them. So they make that determination, and then they go to the legislature and get approval for their new programs. The UW kind of did the exact opposite in this case. They went to the legislature and said, well, we have no money. We need new money in the form of tuition. And then after they accumulated this $648 million after the fact, then they decided, well, we have all this money, now here's all the new programs that we're going to spend it on. And I believe they've identified about $441 million now that the legislature has identified this kind of big fund, this reserve fund. The UW has said, well, we had planned on spending that on these programs, even though nobody even really knew that they were going to spend the money on those programs. The Board of Regents didn't even know that they had planned on spending that money. So in that sense, they're kind of budgeting in reverse, really.
Oh, so you have a problem with UW System President Kevin Riley saying that these reserves were built up because of the uncertainty of future funding, that they needed to have some reserves.
Well, I mean, the reason they have these reserves is because, you know, they said, you know, well, we have no money, and now he's saying, well, it's kind of a rainy day fund, but, you know, they had planned on spending all that money, so it couldn't have been much of a rainy day fund if they were, you know, creating all these new programs, and, you know, it had been raining for the last few years. If they were really in the dire need that they said they were in, they probably would have spent some of that money, but, you know, one of the points that I had made is, it kind of seems with the rapid growth of the program, of the fund, it seems like maybe they saw a Republican legislature, and, you know, we all know that Republicans have generally been more willing to kind of micromanage the affairs of the university system, that they said, well, here's a way that we can, you know, get this huge fund and then spend these funds on kind of the programs that we want without really any legislative oversight. In essence, circumventing the legislative process. I mean, during Jim Doyle's 8 years, the fund doubled from about $230 million to $569 million, I think it is. And then in the 2.5 years since Scott Walker took office, it's doubled again to over $1 billion. And, you know, that's the whole fund without, you know, you discussed before, without backing out some of that money that kind of has strings attached. So I think that's kind of what is frustrating the legislature right now is saying, you built up all this money and then you were going to spend it without any oversight from us. And so I think they're feeling a little left out and a little lonely right now.
Well, Governor Walker, last I heard, is still standing behind his proposed $181 million increase in state aid to the UW, saying that support for the system is imperative. Do you think that the UW system should get that increase, or should it be cut?
I don't know. I think realistically, I think a lot of that is probably going to go, as well as the tuition freeze. I mean, that $181 million that Governor Walker proposed also includes, there's about a $90 million just straight increase, and then there's another $20 million for graduating more students in the high demand jobs. But then there's also things like built-in costs, like heating costs, they're called standard budget adjustments. Even in the bad years, the legislature pretty much picked up the cost for the UW for those types of things. It would be unusual for them to ask the UW to eat those costs, but they could. And then there are other costs like bonding restructuring or bonding costs that are more than normal. Those things have to be paid, so they could ask the UW to pick those up. But generally, those are things that the legislature has paid for. So, I think they're definitely going to take a hit in some respect, but I don't know if it's all going to be able to go.
Yeah, we have just a minute or so before our news break. Did you say you think the tuition freeze will pass?
Well, that's the one thing that the legislature and Governor Walker, it appears that they agree on. So I think that's probably as good as done.
Yeah. On Facebook, John says, a private business setting aside reserves for future uncertainty or for capital projects is wise in many eyes. In this case, they don't want to run government like a business. They want to starve the UW at every turn. A quick reaction to that sentiment, Christian?
Well, they've always run reserves, but in this case, size matters. I think the fact that they have such a huge reserve right now belies the their crying poverty over the last few years. And so I think they need a reserve, but I think it's just too big right now.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Christian Schneider, Senior Fellow at the Wisconsin Public Research Institute. His recent piece, The UW's Backward Budgeting, appeared in Tuesday's Journal Sentinel, and we have provided a link to that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will get more reaction to this news of the UW system's cash reserves and welcome more of your input, too, after we check the latest news. We are talking with a variety of guests this hour about a recent Legislative Fiscal Bureau report disclosing that the UW system had a $648 million surplus or in cash reserve. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for our different guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, April 25th. Let me welcome in our next guest. We are happy to have with us Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. He is also a member of the Joint Committee on Finance. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bring us up to speed. What is your understanding of this cash reserve that the UW system has?
Well, I mean, it came in at $1 billion, but I think we heard that some of that was actually from federal grants and research dollars that are there. So the actual reserves that people talk about is between $200 million and $600 million, depending upon how you count it. But the interesting number that I thought was most interesting in the Fiscal Bureau report, that some $400 million of the surplus was based on recent tuition increases that have been passed on to students. So, I think there's, whether it's you're talking about $200 million or $600 million or where the number is in between, it's a big reserve. It's a substantial reserve. And I think you're going to see a bipartisan chorus of people asking, well, how did the UW build up that reserve? How did that happen? And we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that we built up that reserve in the UW by increasing tuition substantially on UW students and their families.
Yeah. The UW system said we are strapped for cash. We need to raise tuition. And the legislature said yes.
Right. I mean, it's been sort of – there's blame to go mm-hmm. around here, right? I mean, I think the UW needs more transparency. I think the regents need to do a better job of explaining why this is here. But at the same time, if you look at the last 10 years, what the UW has said to the state is we need more resources to make college affordable for people here in the state. And we've said, no, actually, we're going to cut funding to the UW. And so the UW has responded by increasing tuition. So tuition's doubled since 2002. So we should ask some tough questions here, but the legislature has some responsibility here as well. If they want the UW system to be affordable and be a public university that educates Wisconsin residents to achieve greatness in the 21st century, we have to put resources there as well to make college affordable.
Many in the legislature are calling for a tuition freeze, and you're among them.
I am. I think we should freeze tuition. I mean, we just did these hearings with the budget committee around the state, and we heard from no faculty, no staff, no administrators, no chancellors in the UW system. But we did hear from UW students over and over again who were telling their stories about what was going to happen when they were going to graduate with tens of thousands of dollars in debt and the number of, you know, not just one part-time job, but two or three part-time jobs that students are working to pay for tuition and get through college. So I think at the very least, we need to put a pause button on increasing tuition and keeping it flat. But again, we would really miss an opportunity here if we didn't also acknowledge that funding for student aid has been flat for 2 years and has not kept up with inflation in terms of the tuition increases. Joy, just last year, there were over 5,000 students who went to the UW, who applied for financial aid from the state, who couldn't get it because there wasn't any more money for it. But even more alarming than that is more than 7,000 students who applied for student aid and didn't get it just didn't enroll. So we have a real problem when it comes to the University of Wisconsin is supposed to be a public university. And at its core, one of its missions needs to be making a college education affordable and accessible to Wisconsin residents. Mm-hmm. And if we don't use this opportunity, what Tom Loftus called yesterday, a magic moment, to come together in a bipartisan way and not only address this surplus and a freeze, but accessibility and affordability for students, boy, that would be a real missed opportunity that I think both the legislature and the UW Regents and the system could benefit from.
But we did hear in our first half hour from Republican State Representative Dale Cuyenga, who said, yes, tuition freeze, and let's not raise the amount of state aid to the UW system as is called for in Governor Walker's budget, $181 million more in this budget being proposed anyway. If they can't raise tuition and they don't get an increase in state aid, just use up that surplus? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I do think, again, I think it would be appropriate to ask for some of that surplus to be used for access and student aid so that student aid is actually meaningful and that we don't have students graduating with $27,000 worth of debt on average. I mean, that is, if you spread that out over 20 years, that is a payment between $200 and $300 every month for 20 years. That's a lot to ask of kids coming out of college, I'm sorry, young people coming out of college looking for a job. It does raise this larger question of what is that for? I mean, some of that is to increase capacity for these STEM-related fields that we want people to graduate from, that employers tell us that they need. So I think we need to pause real quick if we talk about doing cuts. But I do think it's appropriate to ask the UW, with its surplus, to say, what are you doing about student aid and student access?
We have a caller, April in Kewaunee, who can relate to student debt anyway. Hi, April. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a daughter that's in the UW system currently, and she's going to be a senior next year, and she might be doing a fifth year because of adding some additional parts of her program. And by the time she graduates, she will have borrowed $28,000. She works two jobs on campus, keeps up an A average, is well-liked by her professors, and I just think it's outrageous that tuition has continually gone up when really they have enough money that they could actually cut tuition for a few years. Yeah. And I think it's not fair that some of these kids can't get aid, and I just think we really need to look at this. this is really bad that this has happened. And I have another daughter up and coming in another year who will be in the UW system. And I'm, you know, I don't know how we're going to manage it, you know, especially if tuition keeps going up.
Yeah, April, we hear your story over and over again. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and my wife and I wonder if we'll be able to pay off our student debt by the time our kids go to college. And the answer is probably not. You know, so the crunch that people feel from student debt is real, and it is impacting what graduates can do when they get out of school, how much they have to pay for decades to pay off this debt, and it impacts who can get in the front door to begin with. There are some people who just say, well, that's just too expensive. If we're going to have a public university, as great as the University of Wisconsin is, it really needs to, again, be affordable and accessible for Wisconsin residents. Joy, could I just read what Tom Loftus put out yesterday?
Yes, please do.
So Tom Loftus, former Assembly Speaker, but more importantly, UW Regent, said this yesterday. He said, the legislature should enact a temporary tuition freeze for the UW system campuses in the state budget. The funds available now to do this also present legislative leaders an opportunity to set up a process to consider new policies to guide the system going forward. The UW needs to be judged on things that are student-focused and can be measured. Graduation rates, improvements in graduation rates, student debt load, and whether competing goals generated from within or outside the system are reducing the core mission of serving Wisconsin residents. The future of the UW system has in the past been a meeting ground for bipartisan policies. So he calls this a magic moment where we could come together and address some of these real concerns. He's identified them very well. I think, Joy, you know, there's this great tradition in Wisconsin, and we're on the Wisconsin Ideas Network, so it's appropriate to say it. You know, there was a time 100 years ago when the university and the legislature worked very closely and set up what were called legislative council study committees to address tough issues. And from that process, the university and the legislature was the first in the nation to create unemployment insurance. We invented the technical college system. We came up with workers' compensation. And it was because the UW and the legislature worked so closely. I think what Speaker Loftus is suggesting is calling out for the legislature to establish another Leg Council study committee with people from the UW and the legislature working together, maybe having Tom Loftus and Tommy Thompson, you know, two former political rivals, but both graduates of the UW system who love it, to come together and really address these things that Speaker Loftus is asking for. If we are not getting at making sure that this is a public university that is accessible and affordable to Wisconsin residents, boy, we are missing out.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. In just a few minutes, we will be welcoming in a former chancellor at UW-Madison, John Wiley. But if you would like to join in with a question or a comment, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. One other side issue. This week, a legislative committee was supposed to be, I guess, dealing with a proposal to give the UW system more authority, more autonomy over, I guess this would be UW-Madison, over pay and personnel. Should that happen, given this?
Well, so this is the sort of almost codependent, ongoing, unhealthy relationship I think the UW and the legislature has had. So as the legislature continues to defund the UW over time, and to be clear about it, that's been happening under Democrats and Republicans. We have said to the UW, well, you need to be more independent and more businesslike and look elsewhere for these funds. So it has forced the UW, unfortunately, to move away from its core mission of being a public university and being accessible and affordable to Wisconsin residents. But I think that in real terms, there is an opportunity to figure out how to bring that together and figure out what are the pressures of being not only a world-class university, but a public university that serves the resident of the state that bears its name.
One more call for you, Mark in Mineral Point. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi. My comment has to do with the transparency or the lack of transparency by the UW system administrators, including the system administration. And specifically the problem of the diversion of resources away from the students' academic needs, in other words, the classroom and the support for instructors, both in terms of salary and benefits. And our salaries are in the bottom quintile of the nation now relating to our peer institutions throughout and all the campuses throughout the state. And there also is an increasing trend by the system administration to hire lots of part-time instructors who are very poorly paid and who often do not have the sufficient credentials to be teaching the EW students. So the students are getting a lot less for their tuition dollars at the same time that the tuition is being raised and has been raised a lot over the last decade or more, and that money is going into the proliferation of administrative bloat. There's a proliferation of new positions that are not going to serve the students, but simply to build up an army of political supporters for these chancellors and people like Kevin Riley.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. And what about things like faculty pay and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mark raises a really good point. Dale Coinga said in the first half of the hour that not only do we need to ask on whose backs this reserve has been built, but it really raises a question about transparency. And I think we need to push the UW hard about better transparency about that for exactly this reason. Because if it is the case, and I think that it is, that we continue to raise tuition, but that money's not getting into the classroom for educating our students that we're hoping to graduate, there's a real problem there. And we should be able to ask with transparent accountability, why is it, if what Mark's saying is true, that more of it seems to be going into administrators and bureaucrats in UW system and not making it to the classroom where we're supposed to be educating the next generation of Wisconsin's workforce.
So, Representative Mason, in closing, what do you want to see happen given what we know now?
I mean, in closing, again, we need a freeze, but if we do not use this magic moment, as Speaker Loftus calls it, to address student debt and then bring people together on a bipartisan basis with the UW and the legislature working together to figure out how to fix some of these structural problems that exist, we will have missed out. But again, average student from UW graduates with $27,000 in debt, and that's just from an undergraduate degree. If we don't acknowledge access and affordability for Wisconsin residents, we will be lying, I think, the core mission of the university that we have here in Wisconsin, a great land-grant college that has served us so well for so long.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine, a member of the Joint Finance Committee. We will hear from former Chancellor at UW-Madison, John Wiley, coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today, we can expect a mostly sunny, mild day today. Highs in the mid-40s in northern Wisconsin, getting into the low 50s in the southern part of the state. Stay with us. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk with the author of Practical Classics, 50 Reasons to Reread 50 Books You Haven't Touched Since High School. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 8 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, April 25th. We conclude our roundup of different guests talking about this report showing the UW system with a $648 million surplus with John Wiley, former chancellor at UW-Madison. I should repeat that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension and let you know that we did invite UW President Kevin Riley or a UW System spokesperson to join us for a segment during this hour, but that invitation was declined. We are happy to have former UW-Madison Chancellor John Wiley with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So you're familiar with budgeting. Is this unusual to have cash reserves of this magnitude?
Well, they've gone up recently because of the addition of a large number of new students. The system made a commitment to try to get more students enrolled and produce more graduates. And so we had a rather large surge in students, I think maybe more than 12 or 14,000 new students system-wide. And that has caused an influx of new tuition revenues that weren't there the year before.
Yeah,
but the concept of having a reserve fund is perfectly standard. I mean, this is, in my opinion, a bit of a tempest in a teapot. Right now, I believe UW-Madison, it's the only system institution that I know well enough to speak about, has the lowest cash reserves of any of its peers. Our 13 official peer institutions, we're at about 23%, and the median reserve percentage throughout our peer group, which is mostly Big Ten schools, is more like 60%. So it's a very modest reserve. I suppose some business people might even criticize us for not having a large enough reserve.
Yeah. UW System President Kevin Riley says that the reserve was built up to counter the uncertainty or the volatility of UW funding, but says perhaps the system did a poor job of explaining it or its finances. Does he have a point there?
He does, yes. And I the last caller mentioned transparency. I actually agree with his point. We could do a better job of explaining exactly what goes on. The problem is, you know, it's a big, complicated institution, $5.5 billion budget, 26 institutions spread all over the state. I have no idea how many total employees. Madison alone has about 16 or 18,000 employees. It's a big, complicated budget, and who has the patience to listen to long, complicated explanations that are more comfortable and familiar to accountants than to general citizens or legislators? And so no matter how much we explain, whether or not you and other people pay attention and listen and understand is a whole different question. So we can try to do a better job of explaining, but in the end, I'm not sure how much good that will do.
Yeah. What's your reaction to what seems to be bipartisan calls for tuition freezes for the UW system?
Well, I have mixed feelings about that. First, let me say, when I went to school, average tuition at public universities was about a little over 1% of median family income. That was back in the 60s. Today, it's way in excess of 10%. My father had five kids and could expect to put us all through college if we wanted to go and graduate with no debt. That's not possible anymore. I mean, our tuition at over $8,000 is 1% of an $800,000 income. How many families do you know that have $800,000 income?
Yeah, not too many.
It's just, it's in my opinion, one of the most important public policy issues this country faces. It's not just a Wisconsin issue. It's true in every state in the country. That public support of public higher education has been withdrawn, and we've substituted unreasonable tuition increases.
Let me take a call from Julia in Milwaukee. Julia, we're almost out of time, but want to give you an opportunity.
Oh, thanks. I just want to say what I keep hearing repeatedly is that the University of Wisconsin is one of the cheapest major colleges, public colleges, to go to. It's certainly in the top 10 in the country. They say that their faculty gets paid less. And I don't know where a student can go to get a cheaper education except in the technical colleges. And I think this is just a chance for the politicians to jump and scream and yell and act like they're supporting the public, but they really don't support public education.
All right. A reaction to that, Chancellor Wiley?
Well, basically, I agree with her. although... Let me speak just for UW-Madison. Although we're still about the lowest in the Big Ten, the last time I checked, we were basically tied with Iowa for the lowest tuition in the Big Ten and among the lowest in the country. That doesn't mean it's cheap.
Yeah.
It should be a lot lower than it is. And in a sane and reasonable world, it would be.
You know,
benefits as much as the individual students and their families from having a more highly educated workforce and populace.
In our final minute, do you agree with a former lawmaker and regent Tom Loftus when he says this is a golden moment to come up with ways to make the UW system more accessible, affordable, and better than ever?
Oh, I don't see anything particularly golden about this moment. Maybe it's a copper moment. I mean, it is a time when we should explain what's going on, or try again to explain what's going on. The regents do the best they can in understanding our budgets. I spent 40 years working in the system and trying to understand the details of the budgets, and I think I understand it about as well as anybody.
Well, I think we'll have to have you back as this issue continues. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
John Wiley, former chancellor at UW-Madison. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine.